Welcome to Look Behind the Look, the celebrated podcast that explores your favorite looks in film, television, and fashion history. Through conversations with the fashion world's elite and award-winning hair, makeup, and costume designers on sets around the world, you will see and hear exciting tales from behind the scenes, career origin stories, and tons of advice and tips. I'm your host, Tiffany Bartok. Welcome to Look Behind the Look, the blonde episode. Here we go. This is it. It's finally here. This is the episode where we talk about Netflix's blonde film about Marilyn Monroe. It's not a biopic, please remember. I'm thrilled to bring you the conversation that I had with Tina Rossler-Kerwin and Jamie Lee McIntosh of the hair and makeup department. Their credits are insane. This year alone, you saw Tina's work in Top Gun Maverick, Deep Water, and Gray Man, and Jamie Lee's was in Don't Worry, Darling, and the anticipated Babylon, which I cannot wait for. But their most buzzed about creation is this one. It's Ana de Armas as Marilyn Monroe in Blonde. Hopefully, if you're listening or watching the episode, you've seen it on Netflix. It's out right now. It's not for the faint of heart. It is a very devastating look at the life of Marilyn Monroe. I, for one, absolutely loved this film. It's really tough, but I did love it. And the performance of Ana is just incredible. It's otherworldly. And you're going to hear in this episode just the artistry of working together as a collaborative team to create and embody another person's life through the lens of the director and creating their very own. It's a real story of collaboration. And you're going to hear all the on-set stories, how they did it, some fun stories even. Stay tuned. And I really want to hear what you thought of the film, what you took away from it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it on social media and enjoy this episode.
Monroe, it's time. A kiss on the hand.
How'd you get your start?
Maybe.
What start?
In movies.
Quite continental. But diamonds are a girl's best friend.
I guess I was discovered.
Men broke homes as girls.
I know you're supposed to get used to it.
And we all lose our charms in the end.
But I just can't.
Square cut or pear shape. These
I've played Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe. Doing another scene with Marilyn Monroe.
Ladies, the day has arrived. I have been looking so forward to this, and I am a bulldog. I'm known to be a bulldog. I harassed you. I apologize. I hope there is not a restraining order against me, but I have been dying to talk to you. So I appreciate so much you guys making the time to talk to me today about all of this amazing work that you've done. I know you had the Emmys last night, Jamie. So I triply appreciate you waking up to put your face on again. How was it? Did you have fun?
It was fun. Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was an experience. Put it that way.
Was this your first time attending the Emmys?
Yeah. I don't
know.
Television. So it was exciting.
Amazing. Yeah, the pictures looked amazing. And then, of course, everything's better with one of those 360 cameras that I keep seeing the footage of. So that's been great. And Jamie, you have a podcast as well, the Last Looks podcast. And so we are sisters in podcasthood. So I just so appreciate you coming on to mine, because the second that this trailer dropped, my DMs, my texts, everything was like demanding that you two come on the show. So I'm just really happy. Yes. And this movie has been greatly anticipated, but even before the trailer dropped. But then when the trailer dropped, it was just like fever pitch. So I was curious how you guys are handling that. Were you surprised to, I know you made the film before COVID even in 2019. Yeah. So you've been going through your life and probably, you know, you work all the time. The two of you are constantly working. So how did it feel to just have this thing pop out of the
your memory bank and be like, here we go. This is going to be huge.
Well, I think there was a point, it's, you know, that during the wait and COVID, and we almost wondered if it wouldn't come out, you know, and then there was controversy and we just weren't sure what was going to happen. But, you know, I'm so ready for people to see it. I'm so ready for people to see, you know, everything about it. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of a lot for us, you know, because we're usually behind the scenes and, you know, not too much happens and nobody wants to hear from us. It's been wonderful and fun and weird, but it's been a lot. We're just so glad it's out.
Yeah. And what do people, let's let people in on the controversy at first, just so in case anybody's coming to this fresh off the, cause we're going to drop this the night that the, movie airs. So in case anybody was under a rock, there was a controversy about the portrayal of Marilyn because it's sexy, right? It's super sexy. And I don't imagine. So I think everybody's moved past that, of course. And now the Marilyn Monroe estate has said that they're in favor of the film. And so it's going to be something to see. It's based on the Joyce Carol Oates novel. So
who also supported it.
Yes. Supported the film. Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, so nobody's not going to watch this. What are you most excited for them to see?
Well, I think I'm most excited for them to possibly be surprised, shocked, moved. Mm-hmm. It is, I think to quote Andrew, the director, it's beautiful and brutal.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's really
beautiful.
Yeah. So there is that beauty in there, of course, because it's Marilyn Monroe. I mean, it's stardom, it's filmmaking, it's all that glamour and gorgeous. But then there's a complete brutal side to that, which they really dive into. And it can be a little difficult to watch. So I think it really gets the emotions and your brain thinking, and yeah, it's a deep film. It's, yeah, it's great.
And in fairness to Marilyn, I think that's the way it's better to show the two sides. I don't think it's fair to just show the glamorous side and ignore the difficult side. Mm-hmm. I think it's more honest and more fair and more of an honor to her and her life and legacy to show both sides. Because it's not fair to her otherwise, to leave out the hard part.
Yeah. And I think for us as well, being makeup in here, that's also fun because we get to do the glamorous side and we get to do the not so glamorous side. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I know I have more fun every now and again, making someone look a bit messed up than making them look glamorous. Mm-hmm. Cause it's just, I don't know. It's another challenge, another target to try and hit. And it's, yeah. It's
fun. Sometimes you started out glamorous and ended up messed up.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's some things that we shot that aren't in there. So that was a big adjustment too, is to see what was there and what wasn't, you know, see what stayed and what didn't.
And what did those things have in common? Like, did you notice anything in particular would go? Did it make sense to you?
I don't think we've missed any really juicy moments. Mm-hmm. At least I don't think so. But there's certainly some looks that we like that didn't make it.
Of course. Are we going to get to see some of the looks that you didn't make it?
I guess that's up to Netflix.
We'll see. Yeah. We'll see. And how did you guys come to the project? How did it, have you worked together before? No,
we had not met. I came on before Tina. Jean Black, makeup artist who had worked with the director Andrew Dominic a couple of times before, she had recommended me, and she came onto the project. And then we had a little shutdown in prep, and we didn't quite know whether things were going to kick off or completely stop. And at that point, Jean decided she had other things that she could kind of move to and other commitments. So, because that push in time would have messed her up.
Okay.
So then the wonderful Tina came in.
Okay.
And yeah, so I just came on through word of mouth, through recommendation.
And
yeah.
How much did you know about the project? Did you know that you were going to be blessed with this opportunity to make these, completely recreate these looks? I mean, what I see is the Andrew with the still of a moment, right? And then the shots are set up completely, complete replicas. I mean, it's astonishing. It's astonishing. So did you know that this is what you would be doing?
Not at the very beginning, but the more we got into prepping and researching and the more Andrew explained his vision, the more it became apparent that's what we were going to be doing. And sometimes we were completely prepared for that, and sometimes we weren't.
Explain what that means.
We thought we were, and then something changed. And
okay.
So we were, you know, when I started, I felt like I was jumping on a moving train. Mm-hmm. I literally felt like I was so far behind everyone else. And I just was like, how do I catch up? You know, and maybe it was very patient with me while I denied some things that I knew were going to have to happen. And I didn't want them to happen. She was very patient while I just worked it all out. And
tell me about some of those moments.
Well, they had done a screen test with Anna, and they realized that her dark hair was going to show through the wigs.
Okay.
Out of that screen test. That was well before. It was like a chemistry read.
Okay.
Test. Yeah.
And so when I came on board, she knew that there had to be a bald cap underneath it. And I was like, no, we're not going to do bald caps every morning, right? And in my head, I'm like, good God, really? Okay. Especially with not just doing a bald cap, because that, you know, that's doable, but the schedule and the numbers and the amount in the short time we had and how many looks we were trying to accomplish. I was like, my wheels are spinning.
Tina was coming up with every other, I mean, it was good. It was a good troubleshooting couple of weeks of you going, but maybe you could do this, or can't you just paint your hair underneath, or this and this and that. She's coming up with all these ideas, which were amazing. But at the same time, I was just like, it's just, need to bite the bullet and we need to see flesh through the
hair. Part of the complication to that is that we knew we were going to be changing wigs during the day.
Okay.
If you used a regular bald cap, it wouldn't survive it. Because it wouldn't, the gluing and the ungluing wouldn't, it would, you know, and if you damaged it, that's a whole reset. That's not pretty, you know?
Right.
So we ended up going to prosthetic pieces.
Okay.
And so there's two prosthetic pieces on the side and then one across the top. So she preps the hair. And then after the hair is fully prepped for under the wig, then I put the prosthetic pieces, and that completely eliminates the front half of her head so that her dark hair doesn't show through the blonde wigs.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm
and
like,
that allowed us to change the wigs all day. Don't you know, that we could unglue and re-glue, and it was much easier.
I'm so happy that you're getting to talk about how difficult this is because, you know, it looks so effortless, and it just looks like you dyed her hair and she, you know, performed amazingly and ta-da, there you go. And the effort that went into each look, and there were over 100. Yeah. I mean, okay. So how long were your days?
Normal film
day. Okay. And then how long was the shoot?
45, something like that. Jamie Lee, Anna, and I were in ahead of everyone else so that we could start the process. And then we would be there at the end of the day so we could undo the process. So our days were typical makeup and hair days, but they're long, you know.
Yes.
I don't know. 16, I don't even remember, honestly. It became a blur at one point.
Of course. And let's talk about your research. So what were you supplied for research besides the stills, of course, that you were replicating? What books and films were you asked to really study?
We got
all of them.
Called a Bible, and it was
I think it was like 800 or so pages.
He had a, it was basically the script in photo, you know, references.
Yes.
And so it might not all be Marilyn. It might be a car. It might be, you know, it could be any number. It could be a body part. It could be anything. But it was his idea of how the script in his mind would look. Oh, yeah. And so it was, when you walked in the production office, it was this giant conference room, and they started on one side and they went all the way around. The
Oh my and God, I have chills.
One photo like that, it was like, you know, like
Rose.
Yeah. Yeah. Where are they all now? Like, let's start a museum right now.
Well, they're in the Bible.
Yeah, they're in the Bible. So we got a Bible in the trailer, and we always sort of had some, you know, sort of something that was in his head and about a scene we were going to do. And they didn't have scene numbers on them. They just,
Oh God.
Yeah. Okay. They just had images. So we were like, I think somewhere in this space, you know, but it was really helpful because it gave us an idea of sort of the tone and the darkness of the visual, not just the script darkness, but sort of the darkness of some of the images and sort of the black and white and the and the depth and sort of just how interesting he was planning on shooting it. So it was helpful in that way. You know,
how exciting. What was your favorite look to work on specifically? I mean, all of them, of course, but really.
Yeah, it was favorites. That's always hard. What's your favorite song? Don't know.
I know.
You know, when we started, yeah. I think that every time we felt like we got one right, I'm like, oh, that's good. Yeah. Okay. Check next. And I think we went through this whole moment of, that's okay. Got it. Move in. And we just, it was so fast. But I definitely think when Anna walked on set for Some Like It Hot and she's got the band behind her and she's singing, I Want to Be Loved By You. Although that was not our favorite look in the trailer.
I really did not like that hairstyle. I watched that movie. It's like, oh my God, I have to recreate that. This is horrible.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just didn't jive with it. It doesn't, I know that she was, it was Marilyn playing a character. Well, it was Norma Jean playing Marilyn in a character in a movie.
Right.
And I just didn't jive with it. It had this like crazy little kiss curl right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And it's like up. And I was just, while I was doing it, I was like, ugh. I just, for me personally, I didn't jive with it. And that happens.
Yeah.
You know, you're just like, okay, I have to do what I'm asked and facilitate and do it. And you don't always love it. But, and even when I put it on, I was, oh, it's working, yeah, whatever. And then, yeah, as Tina says, when she got up on
the dress
stage.
On,
yeah.
And then she steps into the light.
And then she started performing and we were looking at the monitor and I was like, what the...
Wow.
It was one of those moments, and this was not at the beginning. This was somewhere, I don't even remember what in the whole schedule. Yeah. This was one of those moments though when crew people are coming over and saying, "Oh, that looks good." And another thing that was really interesting is that the monitor, they had three images. Mm. It was two shots of Anna and then one of Marilyn, and it was so uncanny. And you know, with the band was all matched to the background.
Yeah, it took me a minute to figure out which was which.
Yeah.
I was like, is that? No, that's Marilyn. Oh, yeah. That's Anna.
Wow.
I mean, she was about to go to touch-ups on Marilyn and she wasn't even there. But I mean, all the band members too were all matched, you know. We come around and we look at the monitor and we're like, oh my goodness, you know, and then crew people came over and they're like, sort of like, yeah, not, you know, like this. And
gosh,
it was not our favorite camera until it went on. I mean, it was not our favorite look until it went on camera.
Yeah. Isn't and that then, something? Yeah. That's really interesting to me because I'm really, I'm unabashedly woo woo and everything, but I mean, it seems to me that you really felt blessed with her presence on the set. For this all to happen, you know, the same thing with Respect. And like, I feel like the Elvis movie really captured his spirit so much. I was shocked at how much I felt like it captured his spirit. And yeah. I mean, don't you do you feel like, maybe you don't believe in that stuff, but do you feel like at moments that she was like, wow, you guys get me?
Well, we shot in places that were, you know, either her orphanage or her home in LA or her home where she died. So we shot in places
that were private places for her while she was alive.
Oh my God. Yeah. I didn't know that. What a unique, what an amazing blessing to be able to be in those places. Did anything happen there? I mean, look, I know it's not like a ghost podcast, but did you ever feel a presence, you know, there? You did. Yes, of course. That's beautiful. What a gift.
We felt a lot of unusual things, and some of them are easier to sort of even, you know, talk about than other times where there's just a feeling. Mm-hmm. One thing that was kind of unusual is that, you know, we were following Maryland fan sites as well.
Sure.
And we would be prepping our day, getting ready. We're going to match this scene, and it would pop up on the fan site. And there's no way they could have known. This was way too shut down for them to know this. So that was kind of interesting.
That's amazing.
And then there was a time, you know, the shot where she's trying to call Marilyn up when she's sitting in the mirror, and she's like, please come, please come.
The final result of that's probably my next favorite look.
Yeah,
I agree. Because it took us 2 freaking minutes to change her, and I literally was just like, whoa, she looks amazing. So
we start that whole thing, and we're in this tiny little house that, you know, somehow is connected to Marilyn, and we're sitting in this tiny little bedroom. And we do that first scene where, you know, the guy playing Whitey comes in, Toby comes in and does this sort of stroke, and she's calling him up. And then it's time to shoot the other side, and literally cut. And then, you know, wig comes off, shirt comes off. You know, it was just like sitting on the end of this bed. We're changing everything. And meanwhile, the director and Andrew and Chase, the DP, were having a conversation about what would Marilyn do and how what would happen and this and all that stuff. And we're going as fast as we can. And AD's like, come on. You know, we're trying to hurry this thing. And there's all this weird energy. And right as we're doing this, this big thing, this mirror thing falls off the wall and crashes. And we're like, thank you, Marilyn. He just bought us 2 minutes. You know, and so because literally we're going from a new wig, a new clothes, new lashes, new lips, new, you know, blah blah blah, all this is going on, sitting on the end of this bed with all of this swirling around us. And so it definitely kind of felt like Marilyn's like, calm this all down, people. This is not necessary.
100%. Don't you feel too that Whitey might have been involved too?
He might have walked out doing this. You know, who knows?
She's trying to do the lips.
Yeah.
Give her a second.
Red lips on a bed with everyone walking around. Just stop.
It was the end of the day too. So it was like we're running out of time.
And I'm laying on lashes and she's gluing the wig, and you know, and it's just, it was such chaos. And that thing fell, and we're like, okay. Everyone took note, including Andrew and Chase. There was nobody that didn't sort of go, oh, all right.
That was a moment. And Jamie, this was your favorite look, or the moment after that was your favorite look?
Oh, no, just was it the first teaser where she's begging Marilyn to come, and you finally see her reflection in the mirror and she's all glam. That was probably one of my top faves as well. And I think it is just through that we had so many surprises, because it's, you're just working so quickly, and some things I hadn't seen, like, most things I had not seen on Anna before. So it was the first time putting the wig on in that style, and you're so rushed that all you can think is this, like, man, shit, this better look. This has got to look good, got to look good. And every now and again, there's a surprise of just like, nailed it. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it was like, oh God, don't look at it. It looks horrendous.
She's way harder on herself.
But a lot of times.
Was there ever a moment where you said, I need to take her? You know, I have to.
We could have probably said that, but we quite possibly would have been denied.
Sure.
Times where I, for continuity, needed to literally do a wig change because it would not match lengthwise, color, all that type of thing. And I was told no. And I got the wig change down to 7 minutes with help from my my assistant department head, and 7 minutes was still too long. So that's how crunched for time we were sometimes. So it was, you know, it was a hard pill to swallow, but I knew that Andrew knew in his heart that it would work out. And I've seen the film and it works out. I mean, I can see where it's not the same way.
Of course, but, of course, you know. Did you see it on the big screen? I'm going to see it on the big screen. Did you see it on the big screen?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay. Okay. Well, you will. You will.
We'll be like this.
Oh my God, I'm sure. Right? I mean, but you guys, how does that feel? You nailed it. Do you feel that you've honored her? Do you feel, I mean, this is going to be big. I mean, it already is. How are you dealing with all of this pressure?
We hope we honored her.
Yeah.
We hope we did a great job. You know, it's very, very hard. And this is across the board with anybody in the business, I think. Mm. When you see your work on a giant screen, you go through a lot of emotions of, you know, it's huge. And you're like, oh, I was standing behind that door. Oh, that's the day that the wig had to come off 3 times. Oh, that's this. And so there's a whole nother narrative in your head that is playing while you're watching the movie. And you're just hoping that you get it right, you know, and you know, I think we got most of it right. I'm pretty confident
that judging from all of the reactions that you're going, the only way is up with this project in particular. And you guys are just like, you're so deserving of all of this. I mean, how does it feel like, how does it feel to work on something so glamorous? And, you know, when sometimes you're on Top Gun and it's just about sweat and stuff like that, like, do you see it all the same? I don't know how to ask this question really, but I just thought of it. Like, sometimes it can be sort of technical, mechanical, you know, you're dealing with real people and real things. Was Marilyn a real person to you? Why does it not look costumey at all? Like, what is the difference between the two of you and someone else is that it does not look like Halloween in any way or drag. It's just like really human. And was there anything that you kept in mind about Norma Jean or anything like that while you were creating these looks that informs that?
Yeah. Well, I think as soon as you are aware of the book and then reading the script, I realized very quickly that it was not all about glamour. It was a real, not that it's a real life story, because it is not a biopic, but there was such a rawness and a realness to the story, and really introduced me to Norma Jean as a human being, as a woman. And I think as soon as you kind of feel that, you're like, this needs to look real. When she's having a bad time, it needs to be reflected in how she looks. She can't just look ridiculously glammed up constantly all the time, no matter what she's going through. So we just needed to really inject some real life stuff into it.
And that was sometimes tricky, because there were definitely, if you didn't do certain things to Anna, she looked less like Marilyn. Anna without some of the makeup and stuff on her eyes, she looked more like Anna and less like Marilyn. And there was a scene that I really wanted, she's at home, and I really wanted to reflect something that was more broken down, and it was hard to do because she started looking too much like Anna. And so I was having a conversation with Andrew about it, and he's like, we don't know where she's been. We don't know where she's going. Yes, she's home, but you know, she could have already worked. She could be going to work. And so what was so great about Jamie Lee's wigs is that she could have a break in the way a curl or something moved that would show sort of less than perfect, that would sort of relay that information in a way that I couldn't relay it as much. And so, I mean, there's a scene where I thought it'd be so nice if she's just barefaced and everything, but it was too hard to find Marilyn in Anna without some of the makeup.
Yeah.
And so it was a compromise that you kind of have to, and Andrew said it perfectly. He's like, we don't know where she's been. We don't know where she's going.
She could have slipped in
it. We don't know. So just put, you know, make her Marilyn and we'll, and the rest of it, you know, and there's one scene there that's curl is sort of, you know, coming down. I'm like, okay, that's going to be enough because that's what we can do.
Yeah. There were times that I was able to, which I loved, just completely not roller set the wig at all.
Okay.
Like not put Marilyn's hairstyle into there. Oh. It was almost like she had washed it and let it dry naturally. So those at home private moments that you can kind of push it a little bit more to not have the Marilyn set in it, mm-hmm. or the Marilyn set that maybe hasn't been done for a week.
Mm-hmm.
So right. It's broken down. She may have got it a bit wet when she had a bath or she went for a swim or whatever, just to have that really natural at home look.
Right. As you're talking about this, I can't help but think of Dita, and you know, I follow Dita for this documentary, and she people always, the networks are always like, are you gonna show us Dita without makeup? And I'm like, oh, I don't know what to tell you. Like, that's her face. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she won't have the wing. I'm sorry. You know, like, you're not gonna see like a troll, you know? It's just Dita without red lips. So mm-hmm. when I think of her, it's the wing and the red lips are the most iconic features that make her Dita and make people think that she has a full face on when it's just really just great skin. But were there any things that she was not Marilyn or not Norma Jean until X appeared on her face or in her hair, or, you know, was there any eye shape or lip shape that is iconically Marilyn's?
Well, the prosthetics had to go on under the wigs.
Yes,
so that
yes.
took away her hairline. I took her and had her brows minimized and bleed, you know, lightened. And that was tricky to get that right. But because she has such dark hair and she had to live with them, but you know, but, but, that made a big difference in her face. And I don't think we could have gotten as far as we did without those two things. And of course, just, you know, mounds of lashes. And she definitely did have a different lip shape too. We drew her a more period, you know, lip, you know, more rounded mouth at the top, you know.
So. Did that lip shape change?
Yeah, and the spot, you know.
On the spot, yeah. Did that lip shape change in the eras, or was it always the same?
Once Marilyn kind of found that look, you know, I don't even know if she was allowed to change how she looked, you know.
Wow.
I think she was,
never,
you know,
thought of that.
Relatively controlled in a lot of things that happened in her life. And that was an expectation that she would have a certain look. She may have changed it, you know, as she got older and she got more control over, you know, her world and more agency over her entire environment. But I think that for the most part, a bulk of what we see is her, you know, with that same sort of rounded mouth. So.
And Jamie Lee, you were talking about the hair texture in something that I read and how it was so different. And how did you combat that challenge?
Well, it was just, I mean, whenever I'm looking at getting a wig built, one of the first things I'm thinking about is hair texture and color. So especially if I'm replicating someone from history or wherever, I need the same texture to be happening. So trying to find what Marilyn's natural texture looked like also was quite difficult, but it was just needing to go back a little bit further in time and find those earlier photos of her, even though she probably had permed or slept in rags or something. You know, but you could tell that she had all these little fluffy, curly flyaways and things like that. So I was just like, I think we need to stick with wave, definitely. I had Rob Pickens, who made the wigs, put in fine little mohair and things around the front. Wow. Because when I was looking at photos, I couldn't figure out whether it was just baby hairs or if it was a mixture of baby hairs and breakage from the bleach.
Oh,
So just kind of incorporating all those little details, those little subtle things that would kind of help us recreate and help it look more natural.
And the widow's peak.
And the
widow's peak.
You have a nice widow's peak too, by the way.
Listen, I hope it stays around. I'm taking my gummies, my vitamins. I keep noticing little white things popping out over there. Are there any products that saved your life on this journey? Any techniques or things that saved time for you or products that you would not be able to live without?
I tried quite a few foundations to try and find one that sort of gave the bounce back that would replicate Marilyn's.
Right.
You know, she used to put Vaseline on her face, which would throw light back. And I was trying to find a foundation. It just happened to be a time when Charlotte Tilbury's Hollywood Flash came out, right, somewhere around that time. And they sent us a bunch of stuff and it was perfect. It was the perfect thing to be really reflective and emulate, especially when it's under Chase's lights, that sort of glow that era would have. And that product, I think for me was a real turning point because I was trying to find, you know, I'm certainly not going to put Vaseline on her face, you know, but I'm trying to find something that would reflect in the way that we were looking for.
And once looking wet, right? Without
looking greasy also.
Greasy.
You know, so something that would give that, you know, that reflection and light would hit it and it would give back the light, you know, and that foundation is the one that I thought was the perfect, you know, the perfect choice. So amazing. That was for me a turning point. So
anything that saved time for you, Jamie Lee?
Her wearing wigs for a start.
Yeah.
If I was dealing with Anna's natural hair, I would have, I don't know how we actually would have done it. Yeah, the wigs.
Is it
Rob Higgins and his amazing.
Isn't
she
it funny?
Put it on one wig while one wig's on her head.
Right,
know?
Right.
No.
Isn't it funny how like the kids are gonna think that you guys are making this, you know, it's so important. Of course, your role in this film is so important. And people are going to think that you got like all the time in the world to with her, you know what I mean? And I just, I cannot believe what you did in this amount of time.
If I had to say one thing that was our biggest challenge, it was probably the time.
Yeah.
I'm positive that's,
well, and you couple that with the number of looks we were trying to recreate. And it, you know, if we'd only had one look and we had the same amount of time, you know, or even five looks, but we had so many looks that we were trying to recreate and match to the original photos, which I think is going to be so interesting for Marilyn fans.
Oh yeah.
I think they're going to lose their mind because if you're a Marilyn fan, you know, all these images, because Marilyn's more popular in images than she even is in her films. And so everyone's going to recognize these to some extent, but her fans are going to see so many matches in this film, and they are going to lose their mind.
Yeah, the way Andrew and Chase have done it is like when it was first explained to me, I was just like, oh my god,
yes,
what a brilliant idea. Because it's the scene is happening, but there's just like one moment that it will just move into that image.
Yeah.
And then it will move out of it. It might end on that image. It might start with that image, but somewhere in that scene and in that shot is a photograph that you've seen. So, and I'll put my hand up now and say that the hair isn't always matching, everybody. simply because of time. And I did not have 50 wigs. And Marilyn's blonde changed and her hair length changed. And, you know, so I didn't have forgive me.
Add on top of all of that, we're shooting in color and in black and white, and so not everything worked in black and white had worked in color. And so, you know, what the color of the wig, the color of the lips, you know, I mean, things look different when it went to black and white. And so the benefit of having the photo shoot where we were shooting all these prop photos mm-hmm. is that was, you know, we didn't know it at the time, but we realized pretty quickly that was like, if you're ever going to try something, this is the time to try it, because you're going to have that was the day we did 36 looks or something on that day. Four photos. And so it was a chance to try, okay, that one looks better in black and white, and this one looks better, you know, and so okay. It went through this whole
that's
process.
That's when we got to know Marilyn.
I think that's it the was day that's course. The day we found Marilyn.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely the day we found our Marilyn.
Yeah.
Was that day.
Yeah. In a little pop-up tent inside the stage where you could hear people going, "How long?"
Yeah.
And we're like trying to do these changes in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'd never done these hairstyles before.
Yeah, including her clothes. You know, when she's trying to get into, you know, period era undergarments as well as all these clothes. And it was a mad dash, but it was definitely, you're right, it was a crash course.
Yeah.
And it was I can say now that I'm grateful that we had it because it gave us a lot of chance to, you know, try things and experiment, because we knew they were props. We felt less, you know, well, our perfection had to sort of step back.
Okay.
Good. We just needed to get it as close as we could. Give us a few more minutes, we'd get there to perfect to shoot it on film. But, you know, there were times when we had just to go, we just did, you know, if we have 5 minutes, here's what we have, you know?
Right. So, I often think in making these films that where the person is, personality is so important and what they went through is so important. I often feel that they put the creative team in those exact scenarios and situations so that everybody can really like, this was my life, guys. Like somebody always asking me to be ready when I didn't want to come out yet. And, you know, needing me, needing more and more and more and more and more. And she, I'm sure she was like, I'm going to show everybody what that felt like. Make sure everybody knows.
Yeah. I don't think we could have asked for a better actress to be working with.
Honestly.
Because she not only was patient in letting us do what we needed to do, but she helped us.
Yeah. Very collaborative, very supportive.
Yeah. When you're on this time crunch, she's just like, you know, sitting there, it's like, what can I do? Where do I need to be? Where mm-hmm. do I need to, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
And I mean, and she's doing that, but meanwhile, she also needs to jump into another highly emotional scene where things are crazy. And, you know, so even like, especially for her, things were just bam, 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 like every day, all day, nonstop. But yeah,
it was so impressive.
Amazing.
Yeah. It was so impressive.
Yeah,
I don't know that I've ever seen anything like that as long as I've been around, because the amount of pressure on her was immense. You know, and for her and Andrew, they'd sort of already, you know, spent a year, you know, having conversations. She's been working on her dialect. You know, they've already been sort of in the mix for a year. Mm-hmm. So they had their own sort of language and relationship and communication. Anna just had to sort of kept, you know, communicating with Andrew and then jumping into Marilyn and then putting up with all the changes and then back to, you know, and she was such a trooper. I just can't believe how, you know, sane she remained during the entire process. Yeah.
Impressive.
Yeah.
And then to see her on screen, just fucking nail it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was.
Holy hell.
There were so many times when, I mean, literally we're sitting there and just like, tear, you know, we're like so proud of our little girl up there, you know, doing her thing.
Of course.
It was she was incredible. And I think people are going to love this performance from her.
Yes.
I think it's going to, you know, very well recognized.
I think it'll be really rewarded. And that feeling that you guys have as a trio working with all of this, you know, preparation. I wanted to ask you what you knew about Whitey's role in Marilyn's life, you know, that symbiotic relationship of him being there for her. And, you know, what did you find out in your research about their relationship, Whitey, Marilyn's makeup artist?
I think one of the things that we, I don't know if we've figured it out or we've read it or it sort of both came together, but for Marilyn, Whitey was a man that didn't want something from her. He was a man that was there to help and support her. And so it was one of those rare relationships that she felt safe with him. She felt comforted with him. She didn't feel like she had to pretend with him. And so they were friends on a lot of levels. They could enjoy each other, but she didn't have to step up in a way that she had to for other people. Mm-hmm. It was a friendship, and I'm glad that she had that. Mm.
That makes me so emotional because, you know, you're that for people as well, you know, and it's a beautiful relationship between the talent and the, I don't want to say glam, but the hair and makeup departments.
Yeah.
It's really, really something special.
Well, there were definitely days that it was just the three of us. It was, you know, me and Jamie Lee and Anna, and we were there way too early, and we'd been there way too late the night before, and we're all a little punch drunk. And, you know, some days we would just giggle, and some days we would get teary. Sometimes we would laugh until we cried. And we just had these really great mornings before anybody got there that was just so special. And in fact, there was one morning that,
are you gonna give away our secrets?
I was having such a hard time like saying words. I was trying so hard to say something, and literally we're talking about, I don't even remember, I thought I'm not going on vacation or something. I don't remember.
Yeah.
And I was trying so hard to communicate this word, and this word I was trying to say,
the Bermuda
triangle.
Oh! Bermuda triangle,
right? And so I just kept saying triangle.
I said Bermuda.
I couldn't make words work,
and I just stopped and I was like, lady, did you just say Bermuda triangle?
They're losing it. Point, you know, just I mean, like, don't I mean, I know you're laughing, but don't tear, you know. And it's like we're trying to process the whole, you know.
Oh no,
it became one of those super funny moments, you
slumber,
know,
that, slumber party moments. Yeah
we had a hard time even collecting ourselves when it was time to go to set because we just had gotten the giggles so bad. Aww. So the mornings are super special, and the mornings were, you know, so often just the three of us, and it was just, you know.
So we are now the triangle.
Oh my god, I love
the
that.
The show is the triangle.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love it.
That's literally what we call each other, you know. And so, you know, it's been that way ever since.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. I love that story.
So I was with her on another, I was on Gray Man, and she's across the set and she's like, "Twine?" And everyone's like, what does that mean?
Jamie Lee, you and you two? Yeah.
On no, Gray it was not on Gray
it
Man.
Was Anna, it was Anna, you know, calling because she was in this thing, and she's like, "I'm up here, you know." Oh, and I'm like, and I knew what it meant, but everyone's like, "What does that mean?" Yeah. You know, and I'm like, "Yeah, that'd be, you know." So
it's cute.
And as it turns out, I didn't even remember this at the time. But there's a scene where Anna and the two guys are on the beach and they're looking up at the stars, and they talk about being a triangle, which I didn't even remember. I honestly,
because last thing,
this is some kind of sign. Okay. Yeah. Like, this is a clear sign.
That was the last scene of the entire film that we shot. We're stomping around it on the beach at night. Aww. We're all exhausted and so elated that we made it through this text. We couldn't hear the dialogue at the time. Mm. And when I saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, you know, there was another one of those moments. So,
That's amazing.
It's so great.
Oh my gosh. Is there anything else you want to share about this amazing experience? I mean, we're talking about Oscars here, right? This is going to be, this is a movie. It's, you know, it's going to be listen, it's happening. I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
It is eligible for an Oscar.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good to know.
We hope that people are happy with the work. You know, I don't know how excited or nervous to be about it, honestly, because, you know, we're just figuring it out. Yeah. So.
But that nervousness, I'm just going to say, has been there from the very moment.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. From the very moment that I was interviewing with the director, Andrew, and he said, can you do Marilyn here? And I was like, can I do Marilyn here? Shit, what do I say? Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I can do Marilyn here. I work it out. to figuring it out, doing it, going to set daily, every day, probably just doubting myself, like, is this, am we doing this right? Is it right? Does she look? Is it working? I had 2 minutes to do it. Hopefully it's okay. And then I even got to the point where it's probably showing my confidence levels, but honesty. When we would have additionals come in to help us with background, I didn't want them to see Anna. I was so scared.
Oh my gosh, that's so vulnerable of you. That's so, you know,
but it's true.
I appreciate you sharing that.
Yeah. We had lost perspective at one point to even know, are we getting this right? Are we just so tired? We just think we're getting this right.
And so many people would have, you know, oh my God, they would have chopped off their left foot to be able to recreate Marilyn Monroe. So to have like a whole group of hairstylists come in to help for the day and do incredible work, and people that I admire and respect, but still so terrified of, you know, just what they might think of my work was, used to make me feel sick. And it still does. So
I can really relate to that.
You know, other people's thoughts are not my business. So
makeup and hair people, you know, even costume people, we all want to do period stuff. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it doesn't matter. You know, it could be 20s, it could be, you know, 30. We want to do something that is not contemporary. Not that we don't want to do that, but those are like the little gems. Those are like the little treasures. Those are the little, you know, exciting things that you get to push yourself and really do a lot of, you know, deep research and just get into this whole thing, you know, given time. Let me put that out there. Mm-hmm. But it's one of those things that we all want, you know. And even at the very beginning of this whole thing, when I got called to do this, I got called by Scott Robertson, who was the first AD and producer.
Okay.
I had worked with him before and we had a really good relationship, really good working relationship. And he called me and he said, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to do this. And he goes, no, you're not. It's shutting down, but I have something else. I'm like, okay, great. And he goes, I can't tell you anything. Okay. And he goes, but makeup and hair people will want to do this. So you just have to like, bear with me. And I'm like, okay, you know,
in the car, yeah. So, I don't know where we're going, but I'm in the car.
You know, I'm and then a few days later, I got a call to go meet Andrew. So I didn't know what I was getting into until right before I interviewed, and then I was like, oh, he was right. This is something makeup and hair people will want to do. And how I got here, you know, it was kind of a crazy route, but you know, I got there.
Tell me about Abovo a little bit. I forgot to ask you about it.
Abovo is a natural skincare line. I have two products that are out for retail, and it's an eye cream and a face cream. It's natural, and it is very healing. It's very soothing and moisturizing, and it's perfect for under your makeup, but it's also really, really great after a prosthetic, after you've done something to your skin, whether it's a treatment of some sorts that sort of irritated your skin, you know, it calms the skin. It helps reduce inflammation. And so it's really soothing.
Did you make it? Did you create it?
Yes. I created it several years ago with an herbalist and a chemist, and we came up with it many, many years ago. And
amazing. It's
sort of Hollywood's best kept secret. It's sort of under the radar a little bit, which I'm totally okay with, but a lot of Hollywood has had that on their face.
Wonderful.
It what smells amazing. It feels amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. What? It's an eye cream and a serum. Would you call it a serum? A face cream.
No, it's a face cream. Okay. I have a serum, but it's not retail. Which is probably going to be my next retail item. Amazing. But I'm trying to work out all this, you know, because it's all essential oils,
right, for the most part.
With emu oil, which is also one of the things that helps soothe. And so it's very, you know, it's been difficult during the, you know, supply chain issues to get even the small amount that I need, you know. And then the company that now mixes it for me is in Montana, and they have their own lines, and so they're having issues as well. And so I need more time to get in their queue than I used to need.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. It's complicated.
And how would people find out more about it? Is there a website?
Abovoskincare.com. AbovoSkincare.com, and also Nigel's Beauty Emporium and Friends. Those are the two places that in town in LA get it. Yeah.
Ladies, I am so excited for the world to see this. I don't know what else to say except for I think this is going to be a really big milestone in your whole lives and career, and I'm so honored that you took the time to talk to me about it, because I know you are in high demand with all of the hype and buzz about all of this. So I'm just really thrilled to talk to you. And I'm so happy to meet you finally, Jamie Lee, who I am. Like, I've been, you know, it's so funny, in the virtual world, we both, you know, in the pandemic started doing this and talking to the people in our industry. And so I'm so excited for everybody to also catch your podcast, Last Looks. And I will hopefully be talking to you again about another project soon.
Yeah, you never know.
Look Behind the Look is a Vinyl Foot production, written by me, your host, Tiffany Bartok, produced by Jace Bartok, edited by Nicole Tucker. If you're interested in learning more, find our video version on the YouTube channel, Look Behind the Look Podcast. There you can see rare photos and clips from our guests. And please follow us on Twitter at Look Behind Pod and Instagram at Look Behind the Look. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. And tell your friends and spread the word. You can subscribe to us on iTunes or any podcatcher of your choice. Thanks for listening to Look Behind the Look.